You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight. This is going to be a pre-recorded show that we'll be showing on Thursday, October 2nd. So unfortunately, we will not be able to have call-ins, but we are going to have a special guest, Kathy Katz. She's a trained coach under the WAN Institute, and we will have a special topic today on how men and women self-sabotage relationships. So I'm going to introduce Kathy Katz. Kathy, are you here in the studio with us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Now, we may have a couple of callers from, we gave certain people call in, so there may be some questions called in, but if this is live playing on October 2nd, you will not be able to call in to get your question answered. But please join us the following week, October 9th, 16th, 23rd, and 30th to have your questions answered, or you can email me at info@drpetallen.com. So tonight, Kathy, I want to go over how men and women self-sabotage relationships. And we're diving into this fascinating and sometimes painful topic, how men and women self-sabotage their own relationships. You might be surprised to hear how often we block love, even without realizing it. And we'll compare the different ways men and women sabotage relationships. And we'd love to hear from the audience in the next couple of weeks how, with call-ins, on how they sabotage their relationships. Do you have any points about how men self-sabotage relationships, Kathy?
Wow. Okay. How do men self-sabotage? Wow. That is a great question. Probably they're with a woman who is really very respectful to them, and they're not used to a woman who does that. So therefore they run, just like a woman who self-sabotage. She's used to being with men that are not cherishing to her. Therefore, she runs away from them because she's used to being with someone who expects her to pay the bills and invite them on vacations and move in with them. So it's kind of opposite. They don't know. And they tend to sabotage. And then later on, when they come to me for coaching, because I've had a few, where the woman says, oh, he was so nice to me. And I said, he was nice to you? What was the real problem? What was the problem? They do not know how to receive. Yeah. Women are meant that want to be feminine, need to know how to receive and know how to respect. But if they were raised in a home, you know, like Dr. Pat used to say, in a home where daddy, you know, wasn't there to cherish their feelings, they're kind of inside out. Would you agree?
I agree. I do have a couple of women I also coach, and I have ladies groups that they do the online dating, and they have their ideal man, and the ideal man comes right in front of them and they blemish him. Oh, I can't be with him. He's too pushy, you know, 10 pounds overweight, or he's too nice, just like what you said. They get the perfect person in front of them and they pick him apart with so many small blemishes.
Critical. They're very critical and they're very gamey. Remember in transactional analysis?
Yes.
When somebody makes somebody not okay, that's when the games start. Like you just identified, they start blemishing. Oh, he had me for dinner, but I didn't like the clothes he had on when I came over to his house. I said, what? The clothes he had on?
Or he has his hair's too short. Or, I mean, they're just so much, it's so ridiculous. But unfortunately, we can laugh about it, but it's really serious that these women, their picker's wrong. So they pick the unavailable, avoidant men, and the nice guys that they would do best with, they self-sabotage. And Dr. Allen used to say that those ladies have to go out with nice guys that they're not attracted to so that they can desensitize.
Correct.
From going from the avoidant abusive men to the calm, steady men. But unfortunately, some women's nervous system is only comfortable with the ups and downs. They think the chemistry is that up and down dopamine high. They don't, they're not used to calm. Would you say that the calm, when it's calm, they have, I don't have chemistry.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And
let me ask you, so many women are hell-bent on chemistry, but from what I heard, you can grow to get chemistry. I think it's getting along, you know, friendship first, compatibility, and then you can grow into chemistry. Would you, does that, what's your interpretation
on
chemistry?
I know Dr. Pat said that, you know, date someone three times, because on the first date, men are usually a little nervous, and we get turned on if we're in our feminine to what we hear.
Yeah.
And if we hear things that are uncomfortable, then we are probably going to reject them. But on the first date, that's why she recommends we go out three times. Well, not we. I want to preface, I am married 29 years, thanks to all the incredible tools that I've been taught by her. But yes, I mean, keep your mouth shut. We are there to investigate. They are there to interview us, to be their significant
other. Yes. Speaking of which, when you say interview, and I have so many women go, all he does is talk about himself. I don't, oh, I'm so bored listening to that. What's your interpretation of that?
Oh, my goodness. They reject because they want to control. They are wanting to control, and they're not comfortable with somebody controlling them because they want to be the masculine energy. Like, oh, this is a good one. I've heard this one. Kathy, I sat there with him, but he didn't say a word. I said, okay, so you discovered perhaps he's number one, boring. And maybe you don't want to be with someone who's boring, but go out with them three times, because on the third date, he may say something to you that will just take you off. Like, you know what? I love to travel, and maybe you love to travel. And he says, and I want to pay for it. I mean, I don't know. Each of us are different. But I want women to really concentrate on keeping still. And I think in our society, it's because of many reasons. Women are unable maybe to sit still for that amount of time and really focus on listening. They want to talk, they want to control. Remember, talking is masculine. And it doesn't mean you never get to ask the question, but for goodness sake, he's interviewing you for a job of being married, a business. Listen,
and, also a lot of people are very nervous on the first date, and they do.
Yes.
How many times have you gone out on a first date?
Yes.
And you've done, and you got home and you go, why did I do that? And you've blown it because you're so scared, and you're already putting up your guard that he's going to reject you, or you're going to say the same thing. So you do sit there like a log and not know what to say.
Sue,
that's happened a lot.
This is why, with your coaching and my coaching and all the Dr. Pat Allen coaches out there, it's very difficult to do this by yourself. You know, I love to use the theory, you know, coaches, there's coaches for football, soccer, tennis. What about communication? You know what? It's hard out there.
It is. I had a call.
So you have someone to walk with. And Dr. Pat used to say that. Have someone to walk with.
I have a couple of call-in questions that I'm going to ask you. Here's one about a lady's doing online dating. She says, this guy I messaged back and forth with said he hopes to slap my ass when we are old one day. It turned me off, and I don't want to meet up with him anymore. How do I respond?
Okay.
This is what she would say. You have every right to make sexual jokes. However, it makes me feel uncomfortable. What do you think of not making sexual jokes before we know
Perfect.
Each other
Excellent.
Better?
And also let the guy know that it turned me off.
But also, this is their first date.
Right. But let them know that it was a turnoff. It's like a guy. Yeah. If he really turned her off. Men want to impress a woman.
Yes.
You know, that's why they brag and they say they own this and they go there and this job is so big. That's what real men want to do. They want to impress you. They want a woman who's feminine, who's smart, but not to take over. Well, there's a way.
In this case, my suggestion is, since they haven't met and we're trying to get as many meetings as we can, to meet the guy in person before you text him that, because it may push him away even before you get a chance to meet. That would be, I mean, it's so hard. These ladies, it's so hard to get these men to meet. I'm not comfortable telling them to flag them even before they've met in person, because that could probably push the guy from not wanting to meet. I mean, we have both, that's the thing. We both have different attitudes. They've never met before. They've done a couple online and he did a little humor. Okay. It didn't turn her on, but I still suggest meeting. Okay. And see if that's something he continues. And if it does, flag him at the meeting rather than without meeting, because it's so important to meet these people first. Yes. I have too many women that are flagging guys even before they meet. And the guys don't want to meet them then.
Mm. Well, the three dates is really the best. Yes. Dr. Pat knew what she was doing with the three dates.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I'm not put to saying there's always different ways to do things. My way is to try and get as many men into the funnel of meeting as possible. Okay. And then at that time, go out at least three dates to see if there's something that you like about him. And the duty dating, the women are having a hard time going out with more than one guy because they get the one guy they like and they don't want to go out with any other guy.
Premature monogamy. Oh, yes.
And you know how that goes. Yes. Tell us. I have numerous women that do that.
It's so interesting. It really is. It really is. There's a lot of women that do that. It's true.
And usually when they do that, they're so over-focused on the guy that they actually push him away because they want more, better, or different from him.
Right. And that's the key word, the wanting. Yes. The minute the woman stops wanting and diverts her attention somewhere else, I say it to him. I'll say, you're going to hear from him once you stop thinking about him. And they'll call me back and say, oh my gosh, Kathy, he did. He just called. And it's the most exciting time when that happens, because they are so used to controlling and wanting, like you said.
So for the women's self-sabotaging point, some of the key points are that women over-nurture and they take the mothering role. And then they become clinginess and neediness. And then they become jealous and insecurity. And they need constant reassurance. And then they start doing testing in the games. And they do the silent treatment to see if he'll chase.
Yes.
So this is what happens when women focus on one guy as well. So that's why Dr. Allen's duty dating is so important. Is because go out with three guys and then you also get to know what you like in a man and what you don't like in a man. And then you can build your perfect man from knowing what you want and what you don't want in all three examples. And hopefully if you have 4, 5, 6, 7, you might go through, I know somebody that went through at least 50 men before she met her husband. So, and one word of advice for you to give the ladies, they get, my interpretation of online dating is there's 80% spam, frauds, hookups, and 20% of real people looking. That's just the statistics. It's a numbers game. You got to go through the numbers. Yeah. You're going to get maybe eight bad guys and two good guys. So you cannot put your guard down. What would you tell the ladies when they get discouraged? I'm tired of online dating. All the guys are flakes and they don't call me back and they're scammers.
Okay,
and blah,
so
blah,
what
blah.
They're doing is they're discounting, which is another game in transactional analysis. They're making them not okay. And they have every right, like we said. However, I will remind them that Dr. Pat said, oh my gosh, so many times in her seminars and classes, that women need to plant themselves where they're happy, where they're smiling, mm-hmm. You know, and let men you know, it's amazing. It actually happened to me with my husband the other night. These men came up to me and they started talking to me. And all I did was sit there. I was smiling while we were talking. And it was really funny. But ladies, please get out of your heads. Get into your bodies. Look good, smell good, sound good by keeping your mouth shut. Men like happy women. Real men like happy women. So, you know, if it's a golf course, if it's a happy hour, you know, you don't have to have a cocktail. You can have club soda.
Yeah, I tell my women to go where the men. I do. I say go to a driving range and hit a couple of balls.
Yes.
And, you know, and act like you don't know what you're doing and look around. You will get men running over to help you. And
football, all the football that's football on TV
and
right
also
now.
The sports yes. bars. Go yes. get a friend to go with you and have her be your wingman. And yes. also if you go into a happy hour, pretend like you're waiting for
yes.
a friend.
Yes.
And you know, you're looking at your phone and you're, you know, pretending like she canceled on you. And those men go, oh, you know, they'll come up and say, oh, are you waiting for somebody? And then you proceed to say, oh, my friend just canceled. And then he wants to sweep right in there because you're open and available and inviting him in.
Yes, and Dr. Pat used to say, try not to go with a bunch of women. It's very challenging for a man to approach you when you're with a bunch of women. So I say go 20 minutes early before your other friends get
there. Good idea. That's a good one, too. That way,
absolutely.
Yeah. Me and my friend, this was funny when we were all single. We used to see the guys, and then when they went to the bathroom, we would kind of plant ourselves in the lobby where they came out. And then when they came out, we would start laughing. They would stop and go, what are you guys laughing at? And we would just say, oh, this and that. And it started a conversation all the time. We planted ourselves to be seen by them.
I love it. That's a good one. I haven't heard of that.
It's a good one. You know, in the restaurants, you have that lobby where you're like, you're with the station. And we'd always like plant ourselves out there, like we're talking, and we'd see him come out. We'll be like right when he walks into the restaurant or the bar area, and we'd start laughing and looking at him. And they always stopped and asked, "What are you girls laughing at?"
You know, so another thing, you know, Dr. Pat would say, "Ladies that are feminine, know what it is you don't want. Know what it is. Make that list. Put it in a desk drawer." She believed in telling us about the universe. Honestly can say it happened to me, and I find that technique really well. But women that go out that are wishy-washy,
yes.
or maybe they're delusional, they think this guy's going to show up on a white horse and
come knocking on the door and down the chimney while we sit
at home. Chimney, remember the chimney. No. So if you make your list of not wants, remember, Dr. Pat says women, feminine women, get what they want by knowing what they don't want. And make the list about five things. I don't want
help the ladies make the list, because most of the ladies want 5 feet, you know, 6'2", 10, but, you know, 6'2", blonde hair, blue eyes. Those are just superficial things. What help the ladies, if they're listening, what would five good items be to help them along?
Well, what kind of a family relationship do you want? A nuclear type, a guy who's, you know, isn't close to his family? Like, is family important to you? Do you want somebody, you know, what kind of, you know, religion? You know, I've heard people talk about, well, Kathy, his politics are so different than mine. Okay, if that's your deal breaker, fine, know it. But don't discount the other person for just being different, you know?
Good
better
point.
You know who you are, the better you know who you are, the better you'll relate with everyone. But I don't want to say everyone, but a lot of people tend to blame other people for their issues. You know, like you said, the guy's too tall, he's too short, you know, they get critical. But when you really sit down and think about it, make a list. I tell women, I want you to write down, I don't want a guy unless he makes X amount of dollars. He lives geographically close by. I don't want someone who lives out of state.
Yes.
You know, be specific, because we tend to be general. Men tend to be very specific. I want that woman. I want that house. But women kind of go wishy-washy.
And then
right?
when the guy presents himself, even when it's her perfect man, I don't want that.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a very interesting, it's an interesting world out there. And I'm sure that people say it's not like it used to be. But, you know, that's what I love about Dr. Pat's teaching. She used to say that, you know what, it doesn't matter. She used to say gay, lesbians, or straight people, it's scientifically accurate, politically incorrect, you know? So if women really concentrated on what they didn't want, I think they'd be in a better place and they wouldn't subject themselves to, like you said, the sabotaging as we started. But if you're not clear, clarity, you know,
yeah,
you're going to end up with a lot of
plus. Also, well, we're older, but no offense, Kathy, but back when we were dating,
that's okay.
Back when we were dating, we didn't have all this internet stuff, and people were mating and getting married. The men nowadays, as Dr. Pat says, they don't need to be married and financially obligated to other people. And the internet has made it so available that they don't even have to go out to nightclubs. They just swipe to get their next hookup or girlfriend for a period. And a lot of men don't want to be financially obligated to women and children. So the dating market now is horrible for a lot of women.
You want to hear? So this is the funniest thing I've ever heard. Okay, so I told you that these guys were kind of flirting with me last week in front of my husband. And the guys, I told him I was a relationship coach. And he says, you know what? I don't want a woman that can't afford to pay for her own meal. I don't want to be with a woman like that. No. I want to be able to buy her a meal. And, you know, he was referring to what Pat talks about, the gold diggers, you know, and of course the other side, the sugar daddy. And it was just so funny to hear it come out of him. He was probably in his 50s. And Sue, remember the hormones, when Dr. Pat talks about the hormones and getting to, I do, those people over 50. You know,
the men go more feminine. So you said this man wants a woman to be basically be masculine and take care of herself.
Well, kind of. But he said he just doesn't want to. I think the impression was he didn't want to rescue someone, you know, from, you know, oh, I don't have anything. He wants a woman that. Yeah, I was trying to help him say what he wanted. A woman who he knew could pay for her own meal, even though he would want to treat her. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It does. But then again, there are a lot of men that I'm finding out they want 50-50 because they don't want to be financially.
Okay.
And turning off women, which I get. But then sometimes when you're too entitled and the women come across as being, like you said, gold diggers, that's a turn off too. Go out and see what the man offers you and always appreciate what he gives you. And if it's not enough, then move on. But see if it is enough. Because a lot of rich men test women to see if they're comfortable without high dollar gifts in restaurants. A lot of women, he better take me to this 5-star. He better do this.
That
turns a lot of men off.
Do you want to hear what my date was? My husband.
What was it?
He took me to a movie theater and there was gum stuck on the floor. And I thought, oh my God, it was this gross movie theater. And you know what though? I was really listening. I was listening. And I think you're right. He was testing me too.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was. And you know, guys do that too, just as well as women do.
Yes, they do. And if you come across as expecting the man to, you know, because men have to go out on a lot of dates. They can't be paying, you know, $300 for a dinner on a first date. That's ridiculous. I always tell my women to meet at a coffee shop to see if you can connect before anybody has to put in any financial, if the man insists on meeting for dinner, go. But I prefer my ladies to go to coffee shops so they don't feel they owe the man. And it makes them more comfortable. Because a lot of times the men expect, you know, sex after the meal. And it's uncomfortable. So no pressures.
Remember what Dr. Pat says. They all want to test you to get in.
Yeah.
And they marry virtue, not vagina. So even though they're trying to get in, ladies... But a lot of women that I've worked with too over the years, they think that if they don't give in, the guy's going to leave. And I'll say, well, let him go. He'll keep you younger for the next guy that approaches you. So, I mean, they're going to try.
They're going to try. But the way that you reject them is not be angry at them. And I get a lot of women that go, how dare you? You know, you use the Dr. Pat Allen stroke and stand. You know, I appreciate that you see me sexually desirable. However, I'm not comfortable having sex unless I'm in an exclusive, long-term, committed relationship. And I'd sure like to get to know you more. What do you think about that? There's ways. Dr. Allen has tons of tools, and they're available on our website, www.drpatallen.com. There's the video chemistry, compatibility, and communication that's free for everybody to watch. It's like an hour long. You remember that, Kathy. You were one of the
students in that. Absolutely. I filmed in some of those videos. In the classroom. And watch out, you know, for the women that are doing the daddy bill, too.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about how that comes across, because I get a lot of women. Yeah.
Oh, they want the guy to love them more than they love themselves, and vice versa. There's men that, you know, looking for mommy. And, you know, Dr. Pat used to say, if it works for them, great. If it's equitable, that's the key word. You know, equality nullifies intimacy. Remember, I think, what do you think? That works at work, but not in romance, okay?
Yes.
But I think that, I think that there are a lot of people out there that want to learn this, but the question is, are they coachable? Are they willing to take a risk? Because bottom line, it's a risk.
Yeah, that's one thing that a lot of the women say, well, how can I trust him? And I say, you cannot trust anybody. You watch his trustworthy record. Does he say one thing and his actions match his words? And my famous quote is, I say, drive your car, do the best you can, and let him drive his own car. A lot of women want to jump out and drive his car to get to a better place. So,
they want to tell the guy where they want to go on the date because they don't allow him to be the man, the giver. Women say, well, what about when he says, where do you want to go for dinner? I said, oh, that's the best. I hear that one so much. And Dr. Pat used to say, two things. Are you delegating this to me to pick, or pick three restaurants and I'll pick one of the three? I love that one.
That one I always tell the women too, because they always ask. But I have a question from a caller here. She emailed me. Unfortunately, I guess we're not taking calls today because this is a pre-recorded show. Yeah, I thought we were, but unfortunately, I guess we're not. Okay. It says, here's the question, Kathy. It's a long one. Okay. I was thinking about the difference between giving and giving back. From what I've understood, masculine energy gives, protects, and cherishes. I see a lot of strong but nearly burnt out women around me who are holding their families together, working their jobs and careers, and who give on every front. There's generations of them, and it came a big surprise to me to learn that to give is rooted in masculine energy. I would totally have said that giving is female because I see it all around me. Anyway, so among women, is it generally understood that giving is receiving, meaning they understand that one is expected to return the favor and even the scale? Men who receive, however, are happy to receive without the need to reciprocate or seeing it as an opportunity to connect by giving back. In my former marriage, I gave a lot to my ex and ended up being extremely frustrated because nothing was coming back. So there's more to this. Hearing that, what would you interpretate? Because a lot of women, masculine women, give too much and get burned out, but they also pick feminine men because the polarity attracts. So what would you say?
My first thought, a transactional analysis concept, a cultural script. It sounds like when she defines these strong personalities that, you know, over the years, she's seen them in the different generations that the women are giving, it could be a cultural script. You know, remember, we each have a script, right?
Yes.
And sounds like there's a little of that going on there. But men that like to receive, well, of course men love to receive, but they don't want, real men don't want to be taken advantage of. And that's the problem. they, you know, I used to say if the woman took them out for, you know, if the guy took her out for dinner, how about making him his favorite dessert
or making him back? He gives the dinner, you give back less in offering the dessert. That's the give back.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
But the cultural script, you know, it could be pretty powerful. I mean, they're required to follow. Remember, there's the two types of, families. The nuclear and the cellular. And if you're in a nuclear family, remember, there's the matriarch, the patriarch. So they've been used to seeing this for years. And I personally do know people that are in that type of a relationship. So
everybody does what that usually is the woman. She controls everybody in that nuclear family.
Yes. And a cellular family, for people that have never heard of this before, is where, you know, one relative lives in New York and they might send a birthday card. You live in California, but nuclear family. Oh, they have spaghetti and meatballs every Sunday with the
and
entire
you better family. Be there and all the you family members be. Because if you're not, you're going to be in trouble.
Exactly.
Okay, so here's the second part to her question.
Okay,
so here are my questions. Are men not wired to give back because it somehow weakens their masculine energy rather than acting on their own? I was wondering if an alpha male would give back to their women. Also wondering if women should stop giving so much, should only give back to stay rooted in their feminine energy. That I believe in. Okay. Ultimately, I guess that on a society level, women have been misled to think that giving, achieving, performing will get us what we want. Big fail of feminism. Okay, well, that says it all. Yeah. Because Dr. Pat said the feminine movement ruined relationships. Everybody wanted to be equal.
Correct, correct. And it's okay. Like, you know, I've coached two doctors and two lawyers. That's okay if you come from, you know, equal as far as, you know, your occupations, but you negotiate. When you're equal like that, you negotiate. That's what I love about Dr. Pat's work is the negotiation phase. Are people willing to open up and say what they want, not want, respectfully and cherishing to make a better deal? Because if you're not a good negotiator, what's left? You know, Sue, you're either a bully or you're a whiner. Those are the three things. And when people don't want to negotiate, they're either bullies or whiners, according to her.
And I call them the victims. And remember, Dr. Pat says, victims are the ones that complain, or poor me. They get the most power.
Yep.
And also, I always tell the women, negative, you know, people that are, you are hang around, if they're bitching and moaning and a lot of negative victim mentality, they will drain a positive person. Everybody goes, well, positive people have more energy, but the negative is more powerful.
Well, that's something, you know, everyone has a choice. They can either accept people that they're 51% valuable, their assets are more than their liabilities, reject people you're trying to rebuild, okay? But don't tolerate people. Don't, you know, it's half accept, half reject. It ruins your immune system. It causes distress, which makes disease. You get sick. So I encourage people, if they want my coaching and your coaching, to learn how to be good negotiators and be comfortable saying what they want and not want. Remember, Dr. Pat taught us stoicism, to please ourselves first and other people second. I don't know if a lot of people out there right now are wanting to please other people first, which she defined as hedonism, Marcus Aurelius. I don't know what your experience is with your coaching, gals.
I think a lot of my women are guarded. They've had maybe alcoholic or trauma in their childhood, and they're carrying it on to their men, and they're not being vulnerable. They're very guarded, and I try to work with them. I love the book. I like to get into the attachment styles. Are you familiar with that? How you have the anxious, avoidant,
secure.
Secure. Uh-huh. Oh, let me grab this book real fast if I can find it. But I found
another good book is Boundaries by by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. That's been around for a long time. That's a really good book for people to learn to have good boundaries.
Oh, what was the name of that book again?
Okay. It's called Boundaries. When to say yes, when to say no, to take control of your life.
Oh,
excellent book. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, the attached book, I like it's called Attached, the New Science of Adult Attachment and How It Can Help You Find and Keep Love by Amir Levine, MD, and Rachel Heller, MA. So those are great books. Both of those are great books. And even with my coaching, and I'm not sure even with you, and even with Dr. Pat, we're only the guide to help you understand what's going on. But reading books is very important for your journey of self-improvement as well. We can give you information, but the books will help you understand yourself more and help you work through. Was that what you would say? Because a lot of people just think that they can come and tell them a story and they're going to be fixed right away.
Right. We're a resource. I like to share that we are a resource. We're not rescuers in this process of learning.
We don't have the magic wand that will say something and it magically changes.
Right. And we never tell people what they should do.
Yes.
Or should take cortisol,
never,
which is rock adrenaline.
I have a lot of women, you know, they're in horrible relationships and they both participated in getting that way. So I say you both participated. I do not take sides. Unless there's unless he's physically beating him, because that you know, fighting, yelling at each other, there's usually two people cause that. But they usually ask me, should I leave? And I say, don't leave until you're ready to leave and do your best to learn this painful lesson. And I'll guide you as best I can to hopefully teach you or show you maybe how to clean it up to get to a better place. And sometimes they do, and sometimes they just keep the game going. And the game is, he says something, she says something, she can't keep her mouth shut. Well, I had to tell him, and I had to correct him, and it just goes on and on.
Dr. Pat used to say, stay till empathy and apathy.
Yes.
You don't care what they look like, how good they are in bed, how much money they have. When you're at the end, you're at the end. Because if you don't stay till the end, guess what, people? You get to repeat the whole relationship.
You'll find another model with the same issues. Yes. You'll do the same game. You'll pick him and you'll start another game. He'll do this and you'll do that. He'll stay out late and you'll bitch and whine at him. And then he'll stay out later to get you mad at him. It's like you both torture each other. It's really sad to see.
And remind everyone that words impact our energy.
Oh,
and that's why Dr. Pat Allen's, you know, her androgynous semantic realignment material is so potent. It's so potent. If people are open to learn and change their language, if you're not getting the good results, for goodness sakes, check something else out is what I say.
And you know, what I also get is all the women that come in and it's always pointing at him. Like he's the problem, but I'm also thinking that, you know, usually if this is an ongoing and every guy you go out with, there's a common denominator and it's probably not all the men. So you might want to take a look at what you might be doing to cause a lot of this disruption.
And you know what else, Sue, I say when they go, he, she, I appreciate you sharing that with me. However, he or she is not in the room with us right now.
Yes.
And I don't judge anyone. We're not taught to judge.
Yes.
But that's why I encourage couples to come together to do the coaching. It's so beneficial.
That
if they're coachable. If they're not coachable.
What would you say, okay, between coachable, I have a lot of coachable people that are I love teaching, and I have some that are non-coachable that they're always fighting with me. How would you interpret a non-coachable person from your experience?
Well, I believe if someone isn't open to learn the tools that we have, that Dr. Pat's books, you know, repeat on and on about, you know, the stroke and stand, the five-step cleanup, if they are not willing to take a risk on learning something new, then there's nothing else we can be as a resource for them. We're here as a resource to share information that's proven. It's proven. It's scientifically accurate, politically incorrect, which she's shared with us, Dr. Pat, numerous occasions. So
that's true.
And I wish them well, because I personally, I don't want to work with someone who's not coachable. I wish them well, and I'll encourage them. I hope you find someone else to help you on your journey.
Yes. Do usually, are those generally men or women?
That's hard to say right now. I don't want to generalize on that.
Okay. I would say that
circumstances. Yeah.
I would say more women, in my opinion, seek the help, in my opinion, from the clients I get.
Well, don't forget, we're responsible for the relationship, remember? Because we set the boundaries. We're the yin in the relationship.
And how would that look? Because we set the precedents, you know, if we don't, it's almost like that saying, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah. You know, we say no to what doesn't feel good, or we acquiesce for the team.
That's what we're going to get, the acquiescing. Some people would rather be right than have to be wrong. And they will dig their sand in the ground to prove that they're right. At the cause of the relationship, at the cost.
And what will you? And if you're totally authentic and you're following your instinct, and if it doesn't feel good to be with someone like that, you will reject them respectfully. And by the way, don't forget to tell the ladies. You know, men like to know if you're not interested with them. They don't want to keep spending money on you. So you know, Dr. Pat teaches us how to share that information respectfully to the men. You know, thank you so much for the date. Yeah.
Let me ask you another caller. There's a lady that has been going out with this gentleman for probably, let's see, it's going on almost 10 months, and they are, I guess, exclusive, but he's now starting to ask why he's not being invited to her house and they're not having any form of intimacy. And she, in her world, thinks, well, he gets to have me for fun to take out. And he's starting to get upset. Should she be continuing to date him or what?
I don't hear any boundaries. Remember, the book says, Dr. Pat, the first 3 months is perfect. The second 3 months is imperfect. That's when we find all the little flaws.
Yes.
And the next 3 months is the negotiation. And he has a right to ask for all these things, but what is the reason, she chooses not to communicate with this man and let him know respectfully that those are things she's not comfortable with?
Well, she just says that her presence and him going out with her should be enough.
Enough. She's telling him, she's telling him what her enough is.
Yes, right. I know. I don't get involved because she's kind of on the borderline unteachable. So I don't get involved because I just go, okay, because it'll get into a fight. So she asked me because he's starting to get anxious on wanting to be intimate. And I always say, well, maybe that's something you should talk about because eventually that's how you build relationships. And if you're just using him for free meals and entertainment, that's deceptive too.
And my guess is if he's a real man, he's going to discover that this is a person he doesn't want to continue to be with.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that they're at the 8 weeks. That's why she reached out. But
8 weeks. I 8 weeks. I thought you said 8 months. My mistake.
Well, they've been going out for 8 months, but now he's pulling back. Yeah. Anyway, we're coming to the end of our time. But Kathy, I want to tell everybody if you want, Kathy can advertise her thing, or if you want information on Kathy's services, you can email me at the office at info@drpatallen.com. I offer ladies' groups and privates, and where can they reach you, Kathy?
They could reach me at talktokathy@verizon.net. Send me an email, or they can check out my website, talktokathy.com.
Okay.
And I, just a little background, I met Dr. Pat Allen about 40 years ago. And thanks to her information, I have learned and grown in so many ways. whether it's with family, friends, career, and now marriage of 29 years. Thanks for inviting me. It was so much fun.
Okay.
Your listeners, I wish them well.
Okay. Thank you. We'll see.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.